And so I invite you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. This is our 34th and final week in this book. 34 lessons we've studied through this book. And tonight we, Lord willing, come to the end of the book. We've seen that no letter of Paul's written to a church is more intimate or personal, really, than this book is. And in it, we saw how Paul bared his soul. I mean, he just really kind of laid himself out there before this church. And he professed his abiding love for these Corinthian Christians, despite their apparent fickleness with regard to their love for him. They had been drawn away by the presence of some false teachers. We've seen that. And how that's what concerned Paul more than anything was the presence of those false teachers who had entered the church and were claiming to be apostles. These folks promoted their own ideas, and they were seeking to discredit not only the Apostle Paul, but also discredit his message. And in this epistle, we've seen how Paul defended his authority, both the authenticity of his apostleship and his message. And tonight we see Paul closes out this letter, and he left them some final short exhortations, as oftentimes he would do, leave some little snippets that really kind of embrace his... We're going to see that the very first thing he says here, all of these little things that we're going to be talking about, go back to this one thing. So let's read the scripture tonight. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 11, he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Now, the first thing he says, "Finally, brethren, farewell." And in one respect, the word farewell can mean to be full of cheer. But in another respect, the word means to be well. You go down to Walgreens down here and they check you out at the counter, they'll tell you, "Be well," before you leave the store. That's their saying, "Be well." So I want you to think about "be well" tonight, because all of this is wrapped up, to the end of this book, Paul's wanting them to be well spiritually. Now, no doubt he would like for them to be well physically, but I think mostly he's talking about spiritually. You know, if you're spiritually okay, you can handle a little physical sickness, can't you? But if you're physically sick and you're spiritually sick, man, you are sick. but I believe he's speaking here with regard to their spiritual well-being, and I believe this is a meaning that we draw from the context of how this word is used here. Now, it brings to mind what Paul told various churches near the end of his epistles. You get down to the end of the epistles, and I'm not talking about the final few words all the time, but I'm talking about, you know, in the last chapter, there toward the end, when he gets toward the end of the book, there's some things that he lays out to try to help the churches, try to help the individuals to be what God would have them to be. He wanted what was best for the people in these churches. Paul was not an ogre. He was not looking to slam them with a heavy hand. He was looking for God's best for their life. He was looking for them to be conformed to the image of Christ. He was looking for them to have things go well in their spiritual walk, in their spiritual life, because he knew that was good for them. As we take a look at, and I'm not going to have you turn to a lot of these because we've got a lot of missionary letters tonight to read. So I've got these, a lot of these are already in my notes, and I've got my scripture marked. If you want to kind of just write down where some of the things some of the places that I go, I will have you turn to a few places, but just for time's sake, I want to quote a lot of these, especially with regard to these little snippets at the end. The Apostle Paul does in a lot of the letters that he closes. First of all, in the book of Romans 16, verse 24, he said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Now, amen. And, you know, if the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is with us, we're going to fare well, aren't we? We just are. We're going to be well in our lives. In fact, Paul uses that phrase or one similar to it in several of his letters. In the book of 1 Corinthians, when Paul writing to these same people, when he got to the end of that first epistle, he told them to watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Now, when you hear those things, you know that if those things are well in your life, you're going to fare well. You're going to be well, aren't you? Spiritually speaking, if you are standing fast in the faith, if you are letting all things be done with charity or with love, that agape love, things go better and it goes a lot more smoother in your life and in your Christian walk. To the Galatians, in Galatians 6:9, he commented to them, he said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." He was talking about the matter of just sticking by the stuff. Just keep on keeping on. You know, yes, it gets tough. Seems like the Lord is never going to come back. You know, it seems like the things are never going to get better, but they are. Amen. We just think about it. We're going to be in heaven for all eternity, and we're going to leave all the stuff behind. But we need to stick by the stuff. We need to not be weary in well doing. We need to keep on keeping on. Not say, well, you know, what good is this anyway? I think I'm just going to go back to my old way of life. No. If you're going to fare well, if you're going to be well in your spiritual walk, you need to take and not be weary in well-doing. Just keep on plodding along in your Christian walk as the Lord would have you to do. Ephesians 6:10, Paul said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." You know, if we're going to be well, we can't rely upon the flesh, can we? We must be strong in the Lord. It's not our might, but it's the Lord's might that helps us to have a good spiritual life, a good, strong spiritual walk. And the book of Philippians, he said, a lot of these times he uses the word finally. In Philippians 4, verse 8 and 9, he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, you know, a lot of whether we're going to fare well or not, whether we're going to be well or not, has to do with our thought life. Are we going to keep our thought life in line where it needs to be at? Satan wants us to get thinking about the wrong things. He wants to get us in a bad mood, and you know, when we're not thinking properly, a lot of times it manifests itself in us not acting properly. Am I right? Yeah. You know, when you're not thinking straight, it's going to manifest itself out. It's going to work its way out somehow, and that's why he was so insistent that the Philippians be careful about the things that they thought upon. Of course, that was written right after he had told them to be anxious for nothing. See, some of them, no doubt, in the church had gotten full of worry, full of concern. And he said, you know, that's no way to live. Don't let those things weigh on your mind. Keep the right kind of thoughts. And then also, if you keep the right kind of living, when he says that those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know, the Apostle Paul was saying, look, you know, I'm giving you a good example to walk by. Just follow my example. Just, you know, The Apostle Paul, even though he had a lot of trouble in his life in a physical way, he pleased the Lord, didn't he? I mean, he pleased the Lord. He had a spiritual life that there was no equal. And, of course, the God of peace was with him. He had peace in his walk, even though a lot of times you look at it and say, how in the world could a man like that have peace? But he did. He had peace, the peace with God and the peace of God in his life. And what a blessed way to live. Look at the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 4. Just hold your place there in Corinthians now. We're going to be coming back, okay? Because there's some other things we're going to take a look at there. But Colossians chapter number 4. And here toward the end of the book, he tells them in Colossians 4 and verse number 2, he says, continue in prayer. Is that a good thing? Yeah, sure is. Watch in the same with thanksgiving. Well, you know, if we have a thankful heart, it sure does help with our not only our attitude, but it helps with everything about our spiritual walk, doesn't it? You know, when we're just plain grateful for what God's done for us and grateful for what others do for us in the Lord. Yeah. He said, continue in prayer and watch the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. You know, when we're praying for others, when we have an attitude of prayer and we're concerned about others, we get our eyes off of ourselves, don't we? You know, when we get our eyes on ourselves, we wind up having a pity party. You know, and woe is me, and nothing in the world can go right, and we wind up being miserable, making those around us miserable. But if we have an attitude of prayer, praying for those that need, Paul coveted their prayers, no doubt. You know. Paul was grateful for the prayers that came from the Colossian church. But he just reminded them, you know, when you're praying for me, that you know, that God would give me an open door. You know, if we just take time when the devil wants to try to steal our joy, to say, hey, look, I think I'll pray for the missionaries right now. You know, there's some missionaries having a worse time than I am. And I think I'm just going to take some time. And devil, you just back off because I'm praying right now. That God would open a door of utterance to them. And then notice what he says in verse number 5 and 6. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Talking about those that are on the outside of the faith. You know, you got to walk in wisdom. You know, if you don't walk in wisdom, you can turn some folks off to the gospel, can't you? You got to be concerned about your walk. You can't live your life haphazardly and say, well, you know, I don't care what anybody thinks how I live my life. That's no way for a Christian to live. We ought to be concerned. Now, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know, if we watch our speech, we get in a lot less trouble, wouldn't we? And have it seasoned with salt, and that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What a wonderful thing. We're just talking about things that help us to be well. And really, at the end of every one of these letters that we're talking about, the Apostle Paul is giving them some snippets to help them be well. Now, I'm not going to take time to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, because we spent a long time in 1 Thessalonians 5, that right there toward the end. Remember all those little exhortations we looked at? What was all that stuff for? It was to help the Thessalonian Christians to be well, right? To be well spiritually. He wanted them to be well. But you could put down 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 and following. But it's full of those short little exhortations that we took time to preach. I forget how many messages it took us to get through those little exhortations, but we're not going to go there again tonight. But look at the Hebrews with me. The book of Hebrews. And the final chapter there, Hebrews chapter number 13, right there before the book of James. Hebrews 13. And as he getting ready to close the book here to the Hebrews, notice what he says. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. He says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." See, it's the Lord working in us that's going to help us be well. Amen. And the way for the Lord to work in us is for us to keep in mind these little snippets at the end of the books that the Apostle Paul brought up. So as he closed out this letter, he wanted this church, the Corinthian church, to be well. He wanted them to prosper in the Lord. Now let's look at the next thing back in 2 Corinthians in chapter 13. And he says there, not only in verse number 11, "Finally, brethren, farewell," but he says, "Be perfect." Now, that word perfect means to be thoroughly complete, to be repaired or be adjusted, you know. We need to aim for perfection, don't we? And we know we're not going to be perfect until we are perfected by the Lord when we're taken home to be with Him. Then we will be perfect. But we are in that process of maturing, aren't we? And we're maturing in our faith, and we keep growing in our faith. It's a process, and it's a continuing process until we go home. None of us have arrived. There's not one of us tonight say, "Okay, I'm there." y'all, you know, I'm there. We're not there. But our desire should be no less than to be just like Jesus. That's it. That's the goal in it. Be just like Him. And in order for that to be accomplished, we must allow God to fine-tune our life. You know, when the Lord makes adjustments in our life, sometimes there's some things He adds. Sometimes there's some things He takes away. Right? We know that the Christian life is a lifetime of being adjusted. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge. Now, when he's talking about growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't think when he says growing in knowledge, I don't think he's talking about learning more about Jesus from the Bible. Now, that's good. We need to learn more about Jesus from the Bible. But I think he's talking about experientially. You experience in your life, the Lord helping you through things. Amen? Depending upon Him, leaning upon Him, Him being your help, Him being your go-to source. Okay? Your first go-to source, not the last. You know, when things come along and have a tendency to try to knock you off the path, he said, I need to go to the Lord. I need to go to the Lord. And so that's the knowledge of our Lord. You learn how to lean, learning to lean on Jesus. There's a song about that, and that's what we need to do. Colossians chapter number 2, there's in verse number 6-8, Paul put it this way: "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And he goes on to say, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, you know, Paul had the same concern with the Corinthians as he did with the Colossians. People were trying to spoil the Colossians. People were trying to spoil the Corinthians. Not the same group, but nevertheless, just the same. But if we're going to be completely completed, repaired, adjusted, more like the Lord, we got to walk in the Lord the same way that we received Him. And that's by grace through faith. Okay, we are adjusted by God's grace that our lives get adjusted. But it's through our faith in Him, as we believe Him and believe His Word and trust Him, our trust is in Him, He adjusts our lives
to be more like Him and to give Him more glory. Now, his desire, Paul's desire was that each of them would become everything that Christ wanted them to become, and Christ wanted to conform each of them to His image. I mean, ultimately, we are going to be right in the image of Christ. But in order for that to be accomplished in our lives, we need to follow the James admonition. In James chapter number 1, verse 21 and 22, where James said, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So it's paying attention to the word, not just hearing it with the ear, but hearing it with the heart and being obedient from the heart. The word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the word of God. But if you'll receive it, the word of God will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. That's what the psalmist told us. And we need to keep that in mind. So farewell, be well, be perfect. Here's the third thing. He says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. Now, Paul's not saying for them to be comforted, but he's really saying for them to be comforters. Help those who are not spiritually mature as yourself. The phrase "be of good comfort" means to call near, to invite or to exhort somebody else. Okay, the Lord helped you in a certain area. And how the Lord helped you in a certain area, you're able to help them in a certain area. Now, where did we hear that from? We heard it at the beginning of the book. You remember the beginning of the book in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1? Verses 3 through 6, when he talks about going through tribulation and the matter the Lord allows us to go through tribulation, He gives us comfort in our lives so that we might give comfort to others that are going through the same tribulation. Remember that? And he's really saying that again. He's kind of drawing back their mind back to the same thing, saying, you know, let's think about what we've talked about here and keep that in mind. And then Hebrews 10 and verse number 24 and 25, it says this, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching." Listen, the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ coming, the more we ought to be about exhorting others to faithfulness, exhorting others to love, exhorting others to stand strong in the Lord, not to drift spiritually. Oh, how important it is in these last days. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 7, says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let me break that down for you. The manifestation of the Spirit, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, the spiritual gifts you've got, is given. It's given to you, it's given to me, it's given to each one of us. What for what? To profit with all, to profit the whole body. Okay? We're to edify one another with the gifts that God has gifted to us. I mean, that's really what that verse means. And so when we do that, we're of good comfort. Look at Philippians chapter number 2. You might want to come through this way. It's okay. I don't think the door's unlocked back there. It's all right. Not a problem. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2, and what we're thinking about here is the next thing Nietzsche talks about. He says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind." Be of one mind. That's what we're looking at. Be of one mind. Here in Philippians 2, look at verse number 1. "So if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, notice this, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talks about there the humility, how that Christ, he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant. And being found as a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But the point here, be of one mind. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, we ought to be able to dwell together in unity. If every one of us is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there's no possibility of us having any kind of problem with one another. Holy Spirit, you know, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit will not contradict himself, if we are controlled by the Spirit, if I'm controlled by the Spirit and you're controlled by the Spirit's not going to butt heads with the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Just not going to happen. Brings to mind, I'm sure Paul was trying to bring to mind to the Corinthians in his first epistle when he tells them to be of one mind. When he first wrote this church, they weren't in one mind. We're talking about way back in the first epistle. And 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." And he goes on to say, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." And of course, Paul wasn't wanting them to have those contentions. Some of those contentions had to do with Paul. He says, "Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And then he goes on later in chapter number 3, and he talks about that was a sign of carnality in their lives. He said, "You know, I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" So really, when there's strife and divisions and things like that, it has to do with us walking in the flesh, not walking in the Spirit. Okay? It has to do with walking after the flesh, and we need to make sure, if you make sure you're walking in the Spirit and I make sure I'm walking in the Spirit, well, guess what? We're going to be walking in harmony. Yeah? And we're going to be walking together because we'll be in agreement. And then we see the final admonition there of live in peace. He says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace." In other words, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. He told the Romans in Romans 12:18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, some people just won't let you be peaceable with them. They're gonna try to keep things stirred up. But as much as lies in you, try to live in peace. That's what he's saying. Now, if we do these things that are needed for us to be well, if we will continually strive for spiritual maturity and that we adjust our lives to make them more like Christ, if we will exhort one another into holy living and good works, and if we'll be unified with the mind of Christ, if we'll strive to be peacemakers, if we have all this stuff in, then he says, then the God of love and peace shall be with you. That's what he said. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. He'll be with us in our problems, be with us in our decisions, and be with us in every area of our lives. And then he closes the book out there with the So just greetings and his final salutation of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. What more could you want? You know, God's grace working in your life, having God love you. Isn't that wonderful? Know that God loves you. And then to have the communion of the Holy Ghost, the communion of the Holy Spirit in your life, one with another. What a wonderful thing. Amen. All right, that's the end of 2 Corinthians 13. And I can't tell you right now where we're going next Wednesday. It'll be a surprise unless I reveal it on Sunday. All right, and set that aside and let's pull out a prayer list and take a look at the needs tonight.